Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I pray you use me today, God, to glorify you. Everything I say, all the slides that we have, God, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am not a preacher. I am not a teacher. I'm just a plain old guy. And I just happen to work at the Eureka Rescue Mission. And I am the executive director. I'm going to go through some slides, but I'll tell you, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow, the independence. I believe it's in Britain, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are things happening in our country and across the globe that threaten our liberties and freedoms, as we all know. Are we going to be okay? Are we having hope in our nation? That's the question. Or is our hope in Jesus Christ? I'm going to slide through some slides real quick, but I'm going to show you. Isaiah 53, it says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." This is written 800 years before Jesus was born. "As a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Anybody driven through Eureka and seen that? Anybody driven through Eureka and seen that? Why don't they just get a job? Why don't they do something with their life? These people are despised and rejected. I took that picture right there. That's Willie Herman. He was my buddy. Willie had meningitis when he was little, and it really affected him in his older years. I personally, when I was in the program and working at the men's shelter, I would bathe Willie. I became an in-home, Eureka Rescue Mission, in-home health care, clean you up, and Willie was not able to take care of himself. And Willie was unfortunately killed, hit by a drunk driver. And I was at the emergency room when they were working on him. Thought he was going to be stable. They were going to fly him out the next day, and come to find out when they drove him up to the air, going to the airport, that he coded and they couldn't bring him back. That's my buddy. This is Anthony. Anthony came to us, a shot out, drug out, meth addict, and now Anthony is working full-time at Lithia Dodge in Eureka. He's a detail guy, so if I take my car in to get the oil change, I really want him to do it because I know he's going to do a good job. This is Caden. Caden came to us, strung out, tore up from the floor up, and now he's actually our part-time driver. His wife and his brand new baby there. This is Daniel Gregoire. He came to us, strung out, spun out, and now he recently went from Lithia Dodge to Schmidbauer Lumber, and he's pulling running a machine at Schmidbauer Lumber. And that's Lee. Lee came to us twice, and he was an absolute wreck. Really, really, really bad anger problem, and then the Lord just got a hold of him. And now Lee is actually a house manager at the Rescue Mission for us. And this is probably one of the most dramatic at all. This is Chris Andrews. Chris Andrews was absolutely, literally out of his mind. Literally out of his mind. And he came to us. He did 2 years in our program. We have a year-long residential men's and women's New Life Discipleship program. And Chris Andrews came to us, tore up. After his first year, he prayed and he said, "Hey, I really think I need another year, and I really think God is calling me to do another year. So we said, what's it going to hurt? So we did. And he's going through Veritas Bible Institute out of Pastor Seaford and Chaplain Tom at our rescue mission. He went through the Veritas, and now he is a senior pastor of Redway Baptist Church. And I think that's the second. So we do have, and a lot of people don't know this, but there, you know, a secular program without the Lord, they have about a 3-7% success rate of people after they graduate the secular programs that continue on to do good, okay, productive members of society. Well, we happen to have, and I pride myself in the Lord in this, is because it's all the work of the Lord. We have over a 90% success rate of all who truly get Christ, graduate, and move on. And people say, well, yeah, but what about all the people that we see that were graduated? Well, those are only the few that you see that come back. That's the 10% that don't do good, because they keep coming back, and they may be on the streets where you see them. But the rest of them are driving trucks across the United States. They're working. They're holding down jobs. They're living for the Lord, loving Jesus, man. Okay, so I'm going to go quick through these because I have a lot of scripture, and I really would like to get excited. I really do. That's the old dormitory. This is the old dormitory upstairs. That's where I slept when I first came to the rescue mission. We renovated the men's shelter. This is some of the new staircase that this is already finished now. A new staircase in the men's shelter, putting in the new staircase. This is the entryway. It used to be another entryway. There was a door right on your left. That was the office, windows to my office straight ahead into there. It's the old staircase. Now it's a bathroom, restroom. This is the old hallway upstairs. We have the same rooms. It's just different. So there's a transformation in the being born again in Jesus, and so we're experiencing transformation with the rescue mission. The same buildings, but just renewed from the inside out. And so is the same with us. That's the old hallway downstairs. How many times I have stepped over people sleeping in that hallway because we used to put people on mats to get them off the streets in inclement weather. And through this door right there to your right was the chapel. And that's the old chapel. Preached many, taught many sermons from that. Many people in our community have. And we turned it into a bunk bed area when we built our new building. And this is the new dormitory. So along that back wall was that long hallway. So that's been completely transformed and changed. And it's our new dormitory. Kind of, I'm not good at doing PowerPoint. I squish and pull photos. And that's the old restroom upstairs in the old building. And that's our brand new one. Wow. Yeah. And that's for our program members upstairs. And that's the old laundry facility. And that's the new laundry facility. That's the old day use. Instead of destroying it, they built the slab, pulled it from where it used to be, and Joe Lepic, actually, Lepic Construction, did that. And this is some of the construction of our new facility on 2nd Street. I got some photos. I'm going to blast through these. That's our old kitchen. It's our new kitchen, commercial kitchen. And we serve hundreds of meals a day. Thousands and thousands of meals a month. I don't have the exact numbers. But that's the old pantry, the women's shelter. Right now we are actually in the middle of, or right in the beginning of our renovation of our women and children's shelter. So we are currently able to house 34 women and children. And when this is completed, we'll be able to house right at 70 or above women and children. And we do have a waiting list. So and that's the new pantry, so I can show you that that's the old pantry, and then this is the new pantry. That's the old refrigerator, milk, and that's the new refrigerator. And that is our walk-in freezer, and it's more full than that right now. And this has only happened a few months ago. I used to have to dig and scratch to get meat for the rescue mission. And when all this stuff in this world started happening, I was like, God, what are we going to do? What is going on in this world? And we started digging into things. The 2020 election was stolen, folks. I'm just telling you right now. And I'm not ashamed to say that because I've got absolute proof. I'm not going into it today. It's fact. But when things started going upside down, if it was just our country, I would go, okay, we're gonna do something. But this, what's happening now, is global. This is global. Sri Lanka right now is isolated. They don't have any food, nothing coming into their country. They are isolated. When God started filling up the freezer, and I didn't have to call and try to get meat to come into that place, and I kid you not, you cannot walk into that freezer now. Our pantry is beyond full. Beyond full. And meat just keeps coming in. We used to be a soup kitchen, but now we're like a diner. You know, our guests get slabs of meat when they eat at night. They're taken care of. Our old chapel, our new cafeteria chapel, the ladies' shelter, the women's shelter, that's 107 3rd Street. See some photos of things that happen. Our boutique, we have some ladies come in, do hair sometimes. They're treated like queens at the women's shelter. This is the plans. I'm not going to try to go into it, but they're all drawn up. We've already started a demo, and so I'll get to that. That's some of the old plumbing and stuff up in our women's shelter. The building's over 100 years old, literally falling apart. So this is a pitch. We've got enough right now saved to take care of phase one. A year and a half, 2 years ago, the quote for the whole job was about $979,000 for the whole renovation. And now it's $1.6 million. Yeah, so we have enough to do first phase, and I'm generating and trying to generate. I'm the only fundraiser for the rescue mission. So it's a lot of responsibility. That's the office spaces. That's Kristen. She's a tornado. She got recognized as Humboldt Hero at the Globetrotter game. Right there. She is absolutely phenomenal. She loves Jesus, loves the ladies. That's her office. This is upstairs, which used to be an overflow, but we've moved beds into there to get more women and children. This is downstairs. That's old can alley. We used to hold our canned foods. Our old freezer. More pictures of the roof. This is upstairs. At the very end of the hall, that's getting torn up. But right now, all of this is going to stay the same. Laundry. Downstairs. And then the staircase going down. Pretty steep stairs. Their kitchen. The hygiene room. It's all cleared out now. That's all torn out. And that's what it looks like right now. That's the whole bottom part of the women's facility. Used to be the old pantry, used to be the old refrigerator units, and that's going to be a kitchen. There's going to be a boutique. There's going to be showers all the way down the right-hand wall. So all this is going to happen because we do have enough money to take care of this. So we're going to be able to use the multi-purpose room and the boutique instead of filling it up with clothing and stuff like that. We'll do that upstairs, and we'll put beds in here, because the second phase will take care of a dormitory downstairs, and that'll be 34 bunk beds, I think. So, and this is Natalie Baca. Her dad, Danny Baca, was in the program with me, and she came to us, no place to go, homeless, they're suffering, and now she is in an apartment up in Arcata with all of her kids. Brand spanking new apartment, too. It's amazing how our guys who work and have good jobs with good paying jobs can't find a place to live, but somebody that, which rightly so with the children, many homeless people that they're just getting off the street into housing, they're putting them in new housing. And people that are earning a check can't find a place to live. So we have a list of guys trying to get out of the mission as well as the women right now. Christmas at the women's shelter. It's family atmosphere. And there's Kristen, and Dawn is, I believe, she's the second graduate. And she is still around. Her health is bad, so pray for Dawn. Chaplain Tom and Catherine Winterhawk. She and Debbie are first graduates of the Women's New Life Discipleship Program. So it was July 5th or 6th, I think, is when we started our program 3 years ago. July 1st, yep. So it's an exact year. So July 1st was our women's program has been up and running for 3 years now. And that's Kristen before Jesus. Tore up. And now look at her. Isn't that amazing? This is Lisa. Lisa is actually Kristen's, one of Kristen's best friends back in, back east. And Kristen was talking with me about her to see if we could maybe get her here. And I said, yeah, well, Kristen, out of her own pocket, bought her a bus ticket and brought her. She suffers of diabetes and stuff like that, but she was a serious meth addict. And so this is her then, and this is her and Noah. And Noah is busy. Boy, is he ever busy. And this is Tanya. And Tanya came to us completely strung out on meth. And then Tanya, after Jesus, working at the Chevron. And unfortunately, Tanya just recently had a heart attack, and she was able to call 911. She was unresponsive when they picked her up. They got her to the hospital, and then she had two more heart attacks, and she just recently passed. But she knew Jesus. Okay, that's it. So I don't know how to shut this off, or it's going to keep going. So I have... My goodness, I still have 2 hours. Nice. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Let's personalize it. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I'll stop there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So then, when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to Matthew 22:30. Boy, I've got a lot of time, don't I? Nice. Matthew 22:30. Sadducees were questioning Jesus, and they say there's no resurrection. And so they... If a man dies and has no children and so on and so forth and a bunch of brothers and has wives, and so in the end they say, last of all the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." They're not the same as the angels of God in heaven. We, when we die and get our new body, we won't be the same, but we will be like the angels in heaven. 1 John 3:2. Are you following me? 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, Jesus, we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is. We will be like him. And we can't. When he is revealed, we shall be like him. So the only way that we could ever see Jesus is if he revealed himself to us in some way, shape, or form, right? We cannot see him as he is right now. We saw a hint of that on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the true miracle is when Jesus was glorified right in front of Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah were there. People say, well, that was a vision. No, that was real. That was real. Jesus was glorified. The true miracle of that is that Jesus was able to conceal that glory all along. And up that mountain they went, and he literally just like unzipped his earthly suit and showed everybody what was really on the inside. So when this tells me we shall be like him, we will see him as he is, something's going to happen, isn't it? Now, there's a lot of people that I know that believe in UFOs, and they believe in aliens, right? And I do too. And they believe in abductions and people being taken up and having tested and doing some weird stuff, and they have alien babies and stuff. And okay, well, I do too. I don't believe they're aliens from another planet. I believe they're demons that are fallen, that are weird, that are doing weird stuff. And when we look at our world today, we go, something's going on. We've got CERN, that big Hadron Collider. They're doing some weird stuff with that stuff. So I think we're going to start seeing some weird things. But I'm firmly believing that this is just me. This is my opinion. I believe the rapture's right around the corner. I really, really do. Does it? Works for me too. I lost my train of thought, but I'm okay now. Mark 16:12. That's left. You bring your Bible, Katie? Not to put my kid on this. Okay, after that, Mark 16:12, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Luke 24:13. Now, I just love this. When I read and I get into the scriptures, I'll sit in the mornings and I'll read it, and sometimes, because nobody's in there to hear me except just me and God, I end up being a part of this video. You know what I'm saying? I find myself in the story. I put myself in the story like I'm one of these two guys, okay? So I'm one of these two guys, all right? So that's what it is. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, the resurrected Jesus, drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Basically say, hey guys, what are you talking about? Why are you so sad? What are you talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said, what things? Jesus, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Oh, indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb earlier astonished us when they didn't find his body, and they came saying that They had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they didn't see him. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us. It's almost evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Now, we don't know, did he open their eyes, or did they see maybe the nail prints in his hands? We don't know. A lot of people speculate that, but we don't know. But we do know one thing, that their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. UFOs? A lot of my friends believe in UFOs. They believe in aliens. They believe in alien abductions. But they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's much easier to believe and have faith in the resurrected Jesus Christ than it is to believe in UFOs. He vanished from their sight. And remember, our new bodies, we will be like him. Are we going to be able to pop in on places and then disappear? I don't know, but I could sure have a lot of fun with that. I really could. And I'm already kind of quirky, you know. Just ask my kids. Dad's, what do they say I'm, what do you say I am, Katie? Oh, yeah, lots of things. A goober, yeah. But man, I could really have some fun with that. But just, can you get that? Can you get that? He broke bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And their eyes were opened, and he just disappeared. Could you imagine what these two guys sitting there are thinking? I could just see having a piece of bread and looking over at my buddy and saying, did you hand this to me? And he'll say, no. Did you hand? Whoa. This is crazy. So they got up that very hour, went to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." They told the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And they said these things. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you. Shalom Elechem. Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened. Well, yeah, duh. You popping in on me like that in the closed room. And they supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see." A spirit does not have flesh and bones. He didn't say flesh and blood, because life in our body is the blood. You drain your blood, you don't have life. But flesh and bones, he doesn't need the blood. The blood's already been shed for us. We're washed in that blood. He is literally in a body right now, in heaven, preparing a place for us. And it's been 2,000-something years, so I imagine it's a pretty big, nice place that he's preparing for us. But he said he's going to come back and receive us unto himself. That is not the second coming, but it's the coming before the second coming, which is he personally is going to come in the clouds and receive us unto himself. I believe we're going to hear the trumpet, but I believe nobody else is going to hear that trumpet. And then let me tell you what, when this rapture happens, we think this world is bad now. That's the only thing holding back the devil right now from running roughshod across this earth. And he's already doing a pretty good job about it. But when the church is pulled out of here, guess what? All these good, solid Christian politicians who are standing for righteousness and justice and fighting against this evil in this world, all of a sudden they're going to be gone. And then they can have their way. I don't want to be anywhere near the tribulation. We don't even have any idea. We can read, but we really don't have any idea how bad it's going to be. John 20, verse 19. I think I got as far as, oh, wait, no. He showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it right in front of them. Mind you, he appeared in this room, and then he disappears again after he eats something, after he gives them the commission. John 20, 19. I got lots of time, huh? You need to read this stuff. I don't know if you do it on your own at home, but if you're not, you're missing so much. You're missing so much. So I would, if anything today, that this would encourage you to read and put yourself in the scripture. Make it come alive. We have the greatest thing that God gave us. One of the greatest things is imagination. It really is. And he gives us enough description of stuff that we can literally create a video in our mind. And they make movies. That's using their imagination. But we can literally create it and put ourselves in that video and maybe even think about the smells. I've never been to the Middle East, but I imagine it probably smells good at dinner time walking through the streets of Jerusalem and places like that. The same day, John 20, verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst. Now, we've all heard this and we've all read this, I'm sure, but you got to get it again. And said to them, "Peace be with you." And he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, or his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them. And I looked that word up, breathed, you know what it means? He breathed on them. Breathed on them. And said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. We don't provide forgiveness. We proclaim it. Big difference. Some people take this off that we have the power to forgive sins. No, you don't. You have power to proclaim. Somebody comes up here and prays and asks Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, and they pray the prayer of repentance, and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We can proclaim that they have been saved. Correct? Then we watch the tree and see if it has any fruit. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them, and Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." I get it. I'm the same way in so many ways. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. See how John just puts it in, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Shalom Aleichem, peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Boy, aren't you so glad that the Lord will come to our level and meet us where we're at?" He heard Thomas. He knew it was in Thomas's heart. And he says, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing." And I don't think Thomas went and put his finger in. I don't think he did. I think it was enough. And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John 5, 28. Turning. Do not marvel at this, Jesus said, "for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." all who are in the graves will come forth. They'll hear his voice. Those who have done good, this is Jesus speaking, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Did you get that? Everybody's going to be resurrected. Their spirit will be put back into a new body. Right? Whether good believers or unbelievers. Right? I read the scripture and that's what it seems to say to me. We're all going to give an account. I just thank God that when he looks at me, he's going to see the blood on the doorpost. That I've been cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 24:15. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Daniel 12:2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we just saw and read that we will be like the angels. We will be like Jesus in his resurrected body. We won't be the same as. We're unique. We're peculiar people. We'll be resurrected in a body. I don't know. Maybe we'll be able to smell music or taste music or smell colors or taste colors. We've got 5 senses right now. We can see, and I'm not going to try to go because I'll forget them here, and we can touch. We have senses, right? How much more in our resurrected body will we have? How many more senses? If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be like the angels in our resurrected body. What an awesome day that's going to be at the rapture. Instantly, at the twinkling of an eye, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them, those who have died in Christ first, in the air, to meet the Lord in the air. And then literally all hell is going to break loose on the earth. Anybody ever burnt your finger? You know how that little burn on your finger, I mean, it will limit what you do. It makes your whole body hurt. I remember when I was a little kid, I was over at my Aunt Raphael's house, and there was a barbecue sitting on the front porch. Remember that, Mom? And I brushed up against it, and I think it's this hand. I still have, if you look closely, the remnants, and that's back when I was just a little tot. I can remember that hurt me so bad. And I think about this now. What about the people that have rejected Jesus Christ? What about those people? Right? And then they get resurrected. They get a brand spanking new body. Could you imagine being raised from the dead, not knowing Jesus Christ, and kind of going, wow, and then being judged? Maybe they took the mark of the beast. I don't know. Could you imagine? Jesus said, he said, their worm, not the worm, their worm does not die. where the fire is not quenched. In Revelation, it says the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. That means eternity. I'm telling you something. I really, really believe that the rapture, this is just me, is right around the corner. If there is somebody here today, maybe we've been coming to church, but we've never really made a commitment. Maybe you've never really come to God and say, God, please forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner. For all have sinned. We're all sinners. Even in Christ, we still sin. But if you've never really given a place to Jesus in your heart, coming to church is great. Churchianity is fun. But Christianity, yeah, it's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I see people constantly in Eureka, homeless people, whom I dearly love. I'm not afraid to go to them and give them hugs with a nice shirt on and get goop on me. Why? I develop friendships, relationships. I learn their stories. I find out who they are. I find out what kind of struggles they've had. And I don't preach Jesus to them. That's not my intention right off the bat. Is I want to get to know them, become their friend, and a lasting over time. And sometimes I might tell them, hey, look, stay on the sidewalk. You don't know Jesus, right? No? Okay. Well, stay on the sidewalk and make sure you look both ways before you cross the road because I don't want you to die in your sins. And they kind of look at me like, huh? And I'm like, really? So that kind of pricks that little hardness in their heart. I have seen so many people, and I'm not the one who got them saved. I've just loved on them, just love on them. And when these people that are, they're nasty. You see them, many deranged. They have zero hygiene, not poor hygiene, zero hygiene. And they are so far outcast that they know nobody wants anything to do with them. But when somebody comes along, like my staff at the mission, our program members, and when they come into the mission, smelly, and they're met by somebody who will embrace them and love them and talk with them and get them food and get them a drink and get them coffee and give them nice clothing. Thanks to all our donors. They donate clothes. We outfit them and put them in brand new showers and give them good soap, and we'll help them scrub up if they need to. When you demonstrate that love, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more should we not be reaching out to the people? Because I'm telling you, the majority of the people that I meet are not going to make it to heaven. Who said that? Jesus. He said, broad is that way. There's going to be more people going to hell than there are going to heaven. And I want to get every single soul I possibly can and bring them and drag them into the kingdom. But I can't do it with harshness. I have to do it with kindness and love and gentleness. But there's times when I have to get somebody right in the face and say, if you died today, where are you going to go? Sometimes you got to shake a little hellfire over the top of them to get their attention. Our program, right now, we just got a guy, and his name is Rod. He's about that tall. He's 61. He was raised up within the Hell's Angels, and this guy, I mean, you can't hardly see his face. He's all tatted up on his face. And Friday, he was looking at 20 years prison. My manager was going over for his daughter's graduation or wedding, and Rod happened to be going to court, and they asked, would Bob, my manager, go in? So Bob went in. Well, just so happens that the judge that was going to be sentencing Rod is the same judge that my manager had gone before when he was in trouble. And so Bob was able to talk to the judge firsthand and say, look, I've been to these other programs, but when I came to the rescue mission, you remember me, judge, and now I'm a manager at the same program that I graduated from. And he said the judges had got a big smile, and they gave Rod, instead of 20 to life, third strike, they let him out, and Monday evening, he rode back with Bob back to the rescue mission. Well, last Friday, I was talking with Rod, who's really excited because he's not in prison for 20 years or more, because he's going to pick up more cases when he's in there. It's just the kind of guy he is. I mean, he's a scary-looking dude, I'm telling you. But I see Jesus in him. he started crying. He was, "Brian, come here." And he takes me down the hallway, and he says, "You know that guy that we have that and I said, "Yeah, I know him." And he goes, "Well, bro, he just came up to me, and he was talking," and he goes, "I lifted up the brim of his hat, and he looked at me, and he said, 'I need to repent of my sins, and I need Jesus.'" And Rod, who just got grace and mercy out of the courtroom, was able to lead him in a prayer to receive Jesus and pray. He needs to looking for housing. Well, guess what happened? That day, that evening, he went and met with his social workers and came back and said, "Guess what? I just got housing." And so man, I tell you what, there's so much fun in the trenches. There really is. There really is. That's where the action is, and I love it there. I don't mean this in a bad way, but I feel much more at home and comfortable hanging around a bunch of sinners that don't know Jesus than I do with a bunch of people who are all saved. I love the fellowship here, and I really do, but it's like, okay, we got to go do something, right? We've got to do something. We're going to get a resurrected body. It's going to be beyond anything we could ever conceive. We can read the scriptures. We can read between the lines of scriptures, but we'll never really have a handle on what we're going to be this side of heaven. But when that moment happens, we're done. That's it. This old body's going away. Isn't that right, brother? Art?
Yes.
We're going to step out of this body into a brand spanking new body. But I want to put this into you today. There are many people who are not going to make it to heaven. And which people are they? I have no clue. So God divinely brings people into your path. People have said, "Brian, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good." And I bought into that. I allowed the joy of the Lord to be taken from me because I was too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I was too excited. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not heavenly minded, you will be no earthly good. We have got to be heavenly minded, especially in this day and age. Thank you, God, for the darkness. We can be lights to shine, and we shine much brighter in the darkness than we do in a lighted room. We just do. And so I don't want more bad things to happen, but I know they are. I know they are. I read my news feeds throughout every day, and everything's changing. Boom, boom. But we get to see some really cool things with Roe v. Wade, right? I don't know. We'll see. And the Second Amendment thing, and we're seeing little things, indicators. Is there still hope for our country? I say yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not with man, but with God, all things are possible. So I don't want to take any more of your time. Lord, bless you. Thank you for listening. And let's pray. God, I pray right now, Lord, if there's anybody here, everybody's head bowed, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, or maybe needs to recommit their heart to you, Lord, that you would cause them to raise their hand, Lord. If that's you here today, raise your hand. Or if you're safe and secure in your salvation, go ahead and keep your hand down. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for saving me and pulling me out of the muck and the mire. Each one of us, oh God. I pray you fill us with your spirit. Give us boldness in this time of the age where we're at, Lord. I truly believe, Lord, we are in the last of the last days. And I know you've shown me things, God. And things start connecting, Lord. And so, God, compel us, strengthen us, and again, fill us with your spirit to preach the gospel of good news to a lost and dying world in Jesus' name. Amen.